Morning, y'all, and I hope my pollies are doing wonderful this morning. Today is Monday, October 11th, and it's 0900 on the tick. This is Miss Cheryl Lynn here with your South Pole Daily Announcements. Today, we'll have two cargo flights coming into PAX Terminal. First scheduled for 10:50 hours, and will have food stores resupply and consumable knickknacks. The second arrival is at 15:10 hours. Chemicals and electrical components will arrive. Y'all and cargo teams 3 and 7 need to skedaddle and make sure offloading don't go cattywampus. Now listen up, y'all. The start time for the Ice Picks volleyball team practice has been moved from 1700 to 1730. Coach Glenn reminds you to drink lots of that water to hydrate and stop flexing when you check your watches on the floor. You ain't Val Kilmer. Our activities director will host part two in a five-part Kurosawa Film Festival tonight at 2000 hours after supper's through. Y'all come to the B1 Lounge and you can watch, oh lord, Kakushi Toridi no Sakunin, with subtitles even. Y'all have fun tonight. I like to watch my shows, not read them, so I'm a pass. This just in from Lunch Lady Alice. Lunch specials today are Philly cheesesteak, Sloppy Joe sandwiches, or Miss Alice's own potato salad surprise. For supper, we got specials of flank steak Asian style, chicken fried steak, yum yum. Or for y'all California vegetarians, you have your choice of roasted eggplant lasagna or creamy chickpea curry on your choice of brown or white rice. Finally, a friendly reminder from our area manager, Dr. Lawrence Wainwright. We here in Amundsen Scott South Pole Research Station welcome all our new scientists, our contract workers, and bid a fond farewell to those departing. Our new dear, make sure you accent this, Deputy Marshal Marlowe has assured me those found to not be of interest in the unfortunate incident last season and were scheduled to disembark will shortly be cleared to do so. On behalf of the National Science Foundation and Beauregard Lowing Corporation, we bid you farewell. So there you go. I want each of my pollies to be careful and safe with your chores today. Have a wonderful and blessed day. Toodaloo!
Recording started.
Seriously, Wainwright? Come in! Oh, Deputy Marshal. I guess they never explain the necessity of knocking in Marshall School, I'm also guessing not obstructing a federal agent in the performance of his duties wasn't on the official distributed university syllabus, huh? Obstructing? I would never do any such thing. Then why the announcement? Why are you telling people we're letting them go? Did you not receive the message from the Marshall Service? Did it not say that the NSF required those scheduled to depart to be free to leave if found to be immaterial to the ongoing investigation? This is my investigation, Wainwright. I make the determination on when somebody is immaterial or otherwise. Me, not you, not Honolulu, and absolutely not some stuffed shirt bureaucrat in NSF. I respect your candor, Deputy Marshal, so allow me to be just as direct. This is my research facility. This is my base complex. I am in charge with overseeing the efficient operation of day-to-day activities and all the scientific endeavors or experiments. You and your investigation will not impact the efficient operation or disrupt the higher pursuit of advancing scientific knowledge. Wonderful. Then I think we have a clear understanding of one another. That is all. You may leave now. It's painful.
Recording stopped.
Day 6, October 8th, 2021, 9:20 hours. Agenda today, interview 5 suspects. Bustamante, comma, Ezekiel, J, facilities and chief engineer of the station. Biggs, David, and Daniel, general engineers, and finally, Decker Liu, logistics support. Interview starts at 10:00 hours. Assuming, of course, that Napoleon Bonaparte doesn't try to hamstring me there as well. Diane, scratch that last sentence. 15:30, I'm receiving an update from Station IT on their analysis of the laptop retrieved from Dr. Rodney's office inside of the Mapo lab. A summary of the last 72 hours has been compiled. A copy of all information and data is being sent off to Honolulu for additional computer forensics review. Make sure Fiona knows it's coming. 16:45, complete weekly review paperwork, expense reports, hopefully in time for dinner. Get some exercise and then bed. Diane, I've been thinking about this the last few days. I'm not sure reaching out to Dr. Jennings is the right thing here. It's, okay, yeah. She's attractive. Like, really attractive. And she's obviously intelligent, as according to this report, she's researching things I can't even spell. You know what? If we run into one another, we run into one another. Need to stay focused, eye on the prize, head in the game. With the Lifeline satellites providing reliable and allowing for more communication stability, I've been asked to update Chuck Marshall Goodwin on the investigation process every Tuesday and Thursday. I'm sure his interest is completely professional. Any concern for his DMs in the field has nothing at all to do with DC or any third-party defense contractor intervention. Deputy Marshal Marlowe.
Sir, this is Station Ops Center. You have an incoming call from Honolulu.
Please transfer it here.
One moment, sir. Bass, you there?
I'm here, Charlie. Go ahead.
Have the results back from the fingerprints and facial recognition searches you requested.
Well, don't leave me hanging here, Charlie.
Bumpkiss.
Nothing at all? What about the Capitol Hill Hospital?
See definition, bumpkiss.
So no net presence, isn't on paper, no photos, other than the winter over one?
Rare, I grant you, but not unheard of. You always have survivalists, off-the-grid types. Seems to me you don't get more off-the-grid than the pole.
I suppose.
Listen here, Bass. I'm hearing chatter that the NSF wants an expedited resolution to this homicide investigation.
Oh, I'm well aware, Charlie.
I can hold off the handshakers and baby kisses for a while, but you need to do me a favor and cool your jets a bit, boy. Turn off the afterburners and coast. Not on the investigation, just on the other stuff.
I hear what you're saying, Charlie.
That's my boy. Hang in there, Bass.
Ah, shit.
And so then for the first part of the first season, I was here. The chief just never understood how I knew what needed fixing. He just started having me fill out the work assignments, give him more time to focus on the bigger stuff.
Okay, Zeke, what is it that you do at the station?
My station.
Sorry?
See, now, I know Wainwright is the man on the throne, making all the rules, accepting all the awards and whatnot, but the station... She's a special lady.
So you run the station?
No. It's like, yeah. You ever had a car you loved? A truck, Jeep, whatever?
Well, yeah, sure.
Yeah, well, what was she?
68 Chevy Camaro.
Woo-wee. RS?
Mm-mm. SS.
68 Chevrolet Camaro SS 4-speed. Is that 350?
396.
Oh, then you know exactly what I am talking about. 375 horsepower, V8 engine, and 0 to 60 in 6 seconds, my man.
Actually, no. What are you talking about?
All right. Well, get me. Okay, so you're going down the highway, right? Doing 60, maybe 65. You know every vibration through the steering wheel. You know the way the air should sound around the windshield. Every bump in the road either feels like the shocks are either fine or something feels really wrong.
Yeah, that's actually true, my man.
That's how it is with me and my girl here. I know her every rivet, her every seam. I know when a fan unit has a frayed belt that will snap in a week. I know when a generator is at 85% capacity and has had its weekly load test. And sometimes at night, when it's late and quiet, I can just tell by the way the floor vibrates where the air balance is off.
I understand. You don't run the station. You keep her running.
I keep her happy.
Okay. So, how well did you know Dr. Rodney?
Knew who he was.
You two get along okay?
Along as well as any two Beakers and contractors get. He had to see it by now, lawman. DeWaltz and Beakers don't typically mix. Well, I mean, that ain't 100% true, I suppose. Some of the Beakers are right. They don't look down on us or anything. Then there's the other ones, those other Beakers. The ones who think we're the help. Not scientists, so not worth caring about. Those are the Beakers I can't stand.
Dr. Rodney in the second group?
Dr. Rodney was the king almighty of the second group. He had no respect for anybody else unless you had letters after your name. If you think Wainwright is uptight, Rodney had a stick so far up his ass you could take out geese with his head.
Were there any run-ins? Not if you want to keep your job. Like I said, it's not all Beakers. I think most of them are good people, but there have been problems going back a long time, longer than me being here.
I took over as chief after 2 seasons because the old chief pushed an astronomer who got too drunk and tried to start something. NSF got called, and the chief was on the next LC-130 out of here. I got the job. Some people tell you Beakers have a license to kill around here. It doesn't seem like it's that bad, but I've seen things that if it were one of my crew that did it, there wouldn't be no disciplinary review. Wouldn't be no investigation of the matter. Just pack your bag, wheels up, first flight tomorrow.
Okay, but there were no run-ins between you and Dr. Rodney.
I wouldn't call it a run-in.
All right, then what would you call it?
We had birds.
Walk me through it.
This would have been middle of March, I think. Yeah, that sounds about right. Last of the summer crew was rolling out, and we had just secured summer camp down the week before. I was in the galley having lunch when I heard someone drop a glass. I look over, and it's one of my guys who had bumped into Rodney, and it was his glass that had dropped. Well, he decides he wants to make it into a thing. Gets up my man's face, saying, "Effing DeWaltz this, and effing DeWaltz that. We're all stupid knuckle-draggers that don't have any business being..." Whatever. That man had hate in his heart and no respect for people. Now, my folks raised me right. Taught me the golden rule, right from wrong. You show respect, you get respect. I honestly believe that law, man. Seriously, I do. But sometimes,
what you do?
Well, I get up. Walk up right behind Rodney and just let him go on, you know, for a bit. He's so mad and so focused on my guy. You know, he doesn't see all the faces around him looking in my direction and stepping back as I walk up. Well, that's when he starts in on the DeWaltz and being knuckle-draggers and stupid. So I decided to speak up. Told him that I apologize for not being able to understand him. Told him that I must be stupid. Could he face me so I could see him and say that again to me slowly so, you know, I could stop being so stupid and listen?
Hmm. Dr. Rodney was 5'9 and 162 pounds. You're about what? 6'6, 240? 6'5, 260 on me. But appreciate the compliment, lawman. Go on. Cat turned bright red and just stormed out the galley. As soon as he got out of sight, the whole place starts laughing and applauding. Ain't no way he didn't hear that walking away. And that was the end of it. Oh, he tried to get me fired because I had humiliated him in front of his peers. But since I never raised my hand, never touched the man's shoe, didn't even raise my voice. And there were, what, 10, 12 witnesses? So it was hard for old Wainwright taking action. I remember when he and Fireman Fred got into it over last year. I think it was about cake or something. Anyway, after that, well, things just went back to normal, like they always do.
Do you remember where you were the night he was killed?
No doubt. My baby had a fan motor stop in the main A-pod, fan room A117. It was late in the afternoon when she stopped running. Since the main mechanical room is right up there, I figured we might as well go ahead and get in front of our preventative maintenance schedule. So I assigned Lou Decker to help me. After our Wednesday poker game, we took down systems in that area to repair the run capacitor and gave everything else a good once-over.
How long did that take?
Started after poker wrapped up at 9 p.m. Maybe quarter after. Wasn't cleaning up after ourselves until 12:30 or 1.
You and Decker, you two were together the whole time?
Yeah. Lawman, yeah.
Okay, Zeke, I think I'm good here. If I think of anything else,
I'm in the arches, unless I'm sleeping or getting my grub on.
Hey, lawman,
Whatever happened to your lady?
What?
Your cammy, man. Miss Camaro, 1968.
Yeah. I'm afraid I had to sell her. My dad, he got sick back in 96. Non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Cancer. Well, medical bills were piling up, and I couldn't have them mortgaging. Well, I just couldn't. So I had to step in and help, and on it goes.
Family first. I feel you. You're good people for a long man.
Recording stopped. Recording started.
I'm sorry, gentlemen. I didn't start this. I should have activated before you started for the official record. Would you mind please restarting again?
No problem, Deputy Marshal. As I was saying, there is no way to tell everything on the external drive. All we can do is give you a partial list of files. Going into the history and recent folders, we can see files associated with a drive that weren't housed internal to the laptop, nor were they to any of the other hard drives found in Dr. Rodney's office.
You've got to tell him, Chris. Tell him the good part. That was my idea.
Take your Adderall, Emery. You are spazzing out in front of the fence. I'm getting to it. Jeez. So, we checked in his access files and the history for the last 72 hours. Nothing unusual and no different than the 72 hours before that. With one exception.
Oh, you've got to tell him!
Can you not right now, Em? You're going to wet the carpet again. So, it occurred to us.
Me? It occurred to me.
To us that we should cross-reference outgoing emails attached file names with the names on that list in your hand.
But from what I hear, scientists are sending off attachments to university colleagues and other research stations.
Oh, absolutely. And Dr. Rodney was no different. All the files he sent out were found on the internal hard drive, except for this file.
Which was my idea!
Shut up!
Up triangle thingy. CDM model MSP solved dot doc. Any ideas?
None, Deputy Marshal.
doesn't make sense to me either.
Us? It doesn't make sense to us, Chris.
Okay, when was the last time that file was accessed?
Oh! He asked! He asked! I knew it! I win the bet! Pay up, noob!
What bet?
You said exact words, no square-jawed cowboy looking like he walked off a GQ cover would have half the brain to ask about the file access protocols. Therefore, you lose, Emery wins, flawless victory.
For the love of Shire and all things Tolkien, will you shut your pie hole?
How dare you bring up the Shire?
You're getting all precious, Gollum, with your frickin' attitude right now.
Oh, you are out of control, Chris, with your... Oh,
you are acting like an Uruk-hai on a rampage trying to kill hobbits!
Oh my god, you're the guy who loves Star Trek Deep Space Nine more than Next Generation, so do not bring that kind of heat to me, Chris!
Don't bring your legacy of the original series is better than the new... It was...
It absolutely is!
There are better aliens, there are better storylines!
Oh my god!
Gentlemen...
Excuse us. Sorry. To be continued, Emery. You'll have to excuse my colleague here. He once smoked a chronic in junior high.
Did not inhale!
The file. It was accessed.
It was attached to an email and attempted to be sent at 11:49 p.m. It was attached to an email going to binderclip20719455@millworksolutions.co.nz.
New Zealand.
Home of every filming location for Mr. Peter Jackson's tour de force masterpiece, Lord of the Rings, New Zealand.
One ring to rule them all. Yes.
Wait. You said attempted?
Exactamundo. But transfer was terminated on the sender's end at 11:57 p.m., which was the exact time.
The external drive was unplugged. But whoever did this did not eject it properly first, which, as we know, can cause serious damage to the drive's integrity.
I wanted him to answer him.
So if the file never got sent, did anybody ever retry later?
No. And we checked all outgoing email logs, and no file by that name has been sent. Nothing even close to the size of that file has been attempted, not even after Lifeline deployed.
Which I'm assuming means whoever has it will try to retransmit now that Lifeline is operational, or carried off the station on their way back. Huh. Guys, can you set up some way to detect when a file with that name or that size is attempted to be sent out?
Already implemented, Deputy Marshal.
Excellent work, gentlemen.
My idea!
Recording stopped. Recording started.
I'm sorry, Dr. Jennings. I didn't mean...
I'm so embarrassed. I need to
Wait, please. Just give me 2 minutes. I have two things to say, and I hope you let me say them. You don't even have to respond. Just listen. Would that be okay with you?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Doctor. One, I wanted to apologize for the other day, our first meeting. It never occurred to me to introduce myself as a U.S. Deputy Marshal. I don't think I've ever met anybody like... I mean to say that I don't think I've ever had a first meeting go quite like that. It took me off guard, off balance. Not me excusing myself. Just offering an explanation of how I was wrong.
And two?
Two. We're scheduled for our formal interview on Dr. Rodney's homicide. That said, and given how I want to make sure you're comfortable and not distressed,
I had an idea on how we could make this less stressful.
Mm-hmm.
Our chat isn't set until 1800 hours. I still have a few things to work out. Still, if you come to the small conference room, I promise you, you'll have the entire room to yourself, nobody else with you to get anxious about.
Fine. I need to...
Of course. I understand. Your singing is beautiful, Doctor.
What?
I only heard a few seconds, but what I did hear, wow.
Thank you.
Recording stopped.
I remember, I think it was Homer's Odyssey, where the sirens of the sea would lure in unexpected sailors, singing hypnotically until they steered their boats onto the rocks, allowing the sirens to devour their souls. I don't think she's an evil siren, Diane, nor do I believe in souls, but she did entice with her voice. And, you know, it's truly a shame she doesn't share her singing with others, you know. I can already hear your voice in my head, Diane. Don't get attached, Bass. You're only there for a few months, Bass. We don't get involved during investigation, Bass. What about... No. What about your wife, Bass? It's not like I stopped loving her. Not like she'll always have a place in my heart. We were only ever together for 5 years. Married 3 of those. I told you that, right, Diane? Anyway, is interest in another woman betraying her memory? But all I have left are memories. I'm sorry. I was getting all maudlin on you there, Diane. Marsha Goodwin provided results of the background check of Sandra Dereccia. All results returned with negative hits. The suspect is not listed on any present databases, fingerprint archives, nor video archive footage. This is perplexing me. And by the way, Diane, I assume I have you to thank for getting Charlie to expedite that, so thank you. A request from NSF and Beauregard Lowing, I've been asked to clear an initial number of 42 winter overs who have solid alibis or other reasons to remove them for consideration in the investigation. To that end, I have 5 names. 4 of them were scheduled to return to the States and are doing so now. Last interview of the day in 30 minutes. After that, I can start necessary paperwork and hopefully get in some chow before 60 minutes of cardio. End. Oh, hey, Diane. I got an email this morning that my sat phone has been expedited. Again, if this was you, you are the best and you are way too good to me.
Hello?
Good evening, Doctor. I hope you don't mind me taking the liberty. I had the IT guys set up laptops in the conference room and in my office on the other side of the wall.
You had them tape over the camera?
Well, I figured it might help you relax if nobody could see you in reality or on a screen.
I can...
Oh, hey, before you start, I'm sorry, but I'm supposed to make sure you know all your rights, so bear with me. If you could just read that piece of paper in the folder to the right while I get my notebook out. Okay. Interview, October 11th, 2021, 1804 hours local time. U.S. Deputy Marshal Bass Marlowe conducting the questioning. In conference room B224 is Dr. Kendra Jennings to be interviewed over Skype. Scientist and researcher at the Dark Sector Lab, South Pole Telescope of Amundsen Scott Research Station. Doctor, for the record, can you please state your name?
Kendra.
I need your full name and title, Doctor, for the record.
No. I mean, yes, of course, I'll give you that in a second, but what I mean to say is I'd like for you to please just call me Kendra. Please.
Absolutely. I'll have to use your title in the official interview, but otherwise, Kendra. Please then, just call me Bass.
Thank you.
For what?
Nobody has been this considerate to me for a long time. Nobody has made this much of an effort for me. Thank you.
You are most welcome, Kendra. Now, full...
Dr. Kendra Renee Jennings, PhD with doctorates in quantum physics and cosmology. I work in the dark sector lab here on station.
Doctor, can you describe to me in detail your relationship with the deceased, Dr. Mark Rodney, and where you recall yourself being that evening?
This has been 90 Degrees South. On behalf of the cast and crew, I'd like to thank you for listening. If you liked the episode and are enjoying the series, please remember to give us a like, a share, a tweet, send a raven, or review on iTunes, Audioboom, or your favorite podcast site. It helps us to get the word out and keeps the cold at bay. Until next time.
This has been a BMB production.